isn't done right unless it's done in style.
This week on RFC, Race Against the Clock reveal
what?
The ATT Buzz. A review of Car Robots Episode 2, Ask RFC, and a once-over of the new Beast Wars Transmills game.
I am the commander of the Maximals. I expect you all to back me up.
Okay, I believe it was last week that Brian did that Race Against the Clock review-a-thon. That's what I like to call it anyway. Where he attempted to review 12 or 13 toys in under 5 minutes. He also issued a challenge against anyone else to do the same thing in the same amount of time. I've been attempting to find all my old G1 toys, which I had no intention of otherwise reviewing because, quite frankly, they're not really in the best of shape. It was before I learned how to take good care of my Transformers, besides the fact that Transformers with stickers always wind up in bad condition anyway, no matter how much care you take of them. I guess that sentence makes sense. Anyway, I'm going to set my watch here, if I remember how, for 5 minutes. Okay, I've got the entire set of orange G2 Constructicons, Fireflight from the Aerial Bots, Swindle of the Combaticons, Minibots Bumblebee and Sea Spray, G2 Tank Megatron, and a couple of GoBots, the G2 kind, not the lame Transformers knockoff. Anyway, so I will hit the start button on my watch here and start. Alright, we'll start with Bumblebee. He's the Transformers Volkswagen Bug. He's gold, the G2 version is anyway. Very simple transformation. Pull his legs out and his arms and flip his head up. Articulation has its 2 points, which is just his arms. Bumblebee was always a personal favorite of mine, which is why I based my online name after his Prime version, Goldenless Prime, you know. Bumblebee's going to get a 7 out of 10. Sea Spray, this is Brian's personal favorite. The character on the show was interesting. The toy, kind of cool. Same principle as Bumblebee, 2 points of articulation, same transformation, just about. He's got a neat vehicle mode, robot mode's not too bad, big feet, foot, something like that. I'll give him a 7 out of 10, too. G2 Tank Megatron. This toy big, it's at least as big as the current Ultras. I believe original retail price was like $35 or so, which that's what I paid for him. He has some electronic sounds, which the electronics of mine stopped working a long time ago, unfortunately. Lock and load sound for his turret. The phrase Megatron attack when you push his head down in robot mode. Laser sound if you lift his left arm. Tread sound if you push him down in vehicle mode. Color scheme is green and purple camo, which I just found weird. Transformation's pretty intricate, especially for that stage. Articulation, not bad. Shoulders, elbows, kind of knees. He fires 6 weird little missiles and has a gun. He's a neat toy. He was the first big Transformer I ever got, 10. Next toy, Scrapper, G2 Constructicons. Let's see, what was he? What do you call him? He was the shovel one, not the steam shovel, that was Scavenger. Anyway, transformation normal, legs flip out, and the arms move around a little bit, and you pop the head out. Mine was orange. There was a yellow version for G2, and the G1s were some kind of green color, I don't know. He's normal, Gestalt component size, Gestalt, I don't know. Anyway, I'm gonna give him, 6 out of 10. Bone Crusher, the, Bulldozer, I think. I never got the names right. His tread become his leg, which makes his transformation a little more involved, satisfyingly so, though. Basically orange in both modes. I'm gonna give him a 6 out of 10. Scavenger, the, steam shovel. Treads become legs again, but not the same way as bone crushers. An average robot. I'm gonna give him a 5 out of 10. I don't like him quite as much as the others. Hook. He's got good vehicle mode, kind of weird robot mode. He doesn't like to stay together too well because of his Gestalt transformation. Let's see, next is Long Haul, the dump truck. Sorry if I get these names wrong. Anyway, I haven't seen the cards in a long, long time. He's got, again, the average transformation, flip the legs out, pop the torso down. He's probably my favorite of the Constructicons. He just got that average, standard robot transformer look. And I just can't talk under this pressure. Anyway, I'm going to give him a 8 out of 10. Let's see. Mixmaster. Brick. One and the same. He's got a good vehicle mode. They all have good vehicle modes, except for his purple windshield. His robot mode only has 2 points of articulation, so he may as well be a mini-bot, you know. The others at least have some kind of leg or knee articulation. Firefly, G2 aerial bot. I guess this is like an F-15 or something. I don't know about planes that much. Good vehicle mode. Robot mode's a brick. Might as well be a mini-bot. Swindle. Good vehicle mode again, and there's 5 minutes. Since I was in the middle of it anyway, I might as well finish up. Robot mode is pretty much normal. Kinda ugly. He's your Scramble City combiner type. So is Firefly for that matter. At least the Combaticons. Were more diversified than the aerial bots. Anyway, so I kinda reviewed everything in that amount of time. Oh well, it was a valiant try, I suppose. On my site this week, goldmist.com, I can't say that enough, I'm opening a kit bashing section. Unfortunately, I have no kit bashes of my own at the moment to put there. I am currently accepting submissions, kitbash@goldemist.com, if you want to submit a kit bash for me to put on the site. Maybe Brian will mention that again after I'm done here. It'll also be up on my page. Let's see, what else? Oh, I'd like to mention that I'm sorry for the bad sound quality over the last several weeks. I've been trying a number of different ways to record my reviews. Some of them are not working out quite as well as I'd hoped they would. Aside from that, I guess that's about it. This is Goldemus Prime for Radio Free Cybertron. I should be back next week with a normal toy review of one of the Mutant Beast Wars toys. That's really nice.
Thrash him, then tear him apart, serious-like!
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Bus, and I'd like to announce that as of Wednesday afternoon, I am completely finished with summer school. Finished! Finito! Now, what does this have to do with Transformers? Well, nothing. But it does have stuff to do with the ATT Buzz, which will hopefully go up a little bit in quality, if that's possible, and length. And maybe my attitude will be even brighter because, hey, I'm out of summer school for the summer. Yes, I have completed Spanish 3, 3 semesters of Spanish, and I can't speak a word of it still, despite getting A's in every semester. You know, there's something wrong with that. And it doesn't change the fact that when I walk into a Mexican restaurant, since I am half Mexican, the waitress kind of assumes that I speak it fluently, and that I just came from Tijuana. But all I can do is helplessly point at the enchilada combo plate on the menu and pray to God that they don't bring back something that will kill me, and that they don't make fun of the silly little mute Mexican boy at table number 9. You know, if any of the waitresses are out there listening, I'm not mute, I just can't speak your language. Anyway, on ATT this week, it was kind of slow, and I had to look a little bit hard to find some good topics to bring to you this week. But I think I found some. Okay, first topic of the week is robots in disguise. Namely, robots in lousy disguises. Disguises that suck. Disguises that will not fool anybody. And there were plenty of them in G1, especially the late years. But even in the early years, when Hasbro first slapped that slogan on them, robots in disguise, really didn't fit. Because the disguises don't fool anybody. How many times have you seen a Lamborghini police car or a fire chief Lamborghini racing down the street to that fire? That might be big in Japan, making rescue vehicles out of expensive European cars, but over on this side of the pond, it is not. Now, as far as good disguises, well, they were hard to find, but they were there. I think Blue Streak was pretty good, mainly because he was a normal car with a normal paint job. And I've seen several Blue Streaks, personally, and Optimus Prime's the same thing. Even though that trucker design is out of date, it was pretty practical. The paint job was kind of funny, and, well, that huge Autobot symbol on the side of the truck wasn't exactly perfect for disguises, but, you know, hey, what do you know? As far as the Decepticons go, I don't think this argument really holds for them, because I doubt they really gave a flip if they fooled you with their disguises. I mean, think about it. How many G1 cartoons opened with Megatron and the gang flying in robot mode over the walls of an army installation, ripping down the walls, trying to find delicious Energon? So, I rest my case on that one. They didn't really care. If Megatron wanted to fool anybody, he would have stayed in gun mode, and he would have kicked it in Texas for a while. Anyway, elsewhere on ATT, somebody, just for some reason or whatever reason, just finished seeing all 26 Beef Machine episodes, and of course they posted their opinion on ATT, and it wasn't pretty. In fact, they declared that the ending completely sucked. And yes, we got another outbreak of semi-flames over Beef Machines. And it's point, and your opinion is no good, and my opinion is all great, and you have the right to your opinion, and which that really translates to your opinion sucks, my opinion's different, but I'm going to cover my butt by saying your opinion is your opinion, etc. Oh, how depressing. And to think that that will happen again in the fall when the kiddies over here see Beast Machine Season 2. Although, the middle of Beast Machine Season 2 is pretty decent, I think. It's just the ending. And the overall story of Beast Machines that I can't take. And the character design is a little too freakish for me. Anyway, finally on ATT. Actually, not on ATT. I think it's more of on ATTers' minds is BotCon. And we are less than a month away. And according to the Hartman's, confirmation mail was sent out on the 30th. Of June, so be on the lookout in your mailbox for confirmation stuff this week. And if you do get confirmation stuff, please post that on the ATT so we can all know that it is getting out there for this week. That is the ATT Buzz. Adios. I am John DeLuna.
I am Silverbolt, tracker for the Maximals. I'm a Lou.
Let's see, Car Robots Episode 2. What to say about this? It continues the G1 parallels established in the first episode, with the new subplot of the Death Strongers collecting energy, or at least that's what it appears to be. Let's see here. The woman who got ejected from Wild Ride, who is a recurring character, think Wasp Eater, only a human woman. She's always got bad stuff happening to her. The Death Strongers try to steal her car, which contains some kind of power source, or maybe a bomb, but it's not totally clear. I should point out that my Japanese is limited to... Actually, my Japanese is non-existent, so... Let's see. So, the smaller Death Strongers, who Brian compared to Team Rocket in the last review, grab the car and start running down the road with it, which I just find stupid, though it was amusing at the same time. Let's see. Also in the episode, Gelshark, possibly Gelshark, I'm not sure, shows up for the first time, and begins eating cars. Well, that's what it looked like anyway. He's odd. That's pretty much all I can say about him. So, the Strongers take the woman's car and start running away with it. Enter the Cybertrons. Enter car chase mode. because I just can't talk tonight. So, car chase starts up. Let's see, what else happens here? Wild Ride grabs the bomb, power source, whatever it is, out of the woman's car and mounts it onto his front end. He then begins web-slinging, think Spider-Man, through the city in vehicle mode. Okay, that's just... Okay, and then Gelshark, whatever, flies after him. Flies. Not swims, flies. Have you ever seen a flying shark? Well, for that matter, have you ever seen a cybernetic shark? Let's see. That was just insane. Yeah. So then Fire Convoy, who's been watching all this going on from Cybertron Central, that's what I call their base, with the little hollow girl, AI Chan. Let's see what happened there. I'm trying to work from memory here, so you'll have to bear with me a little bit. He eventually goes out to help, and forms up the Super Fire Convoy. I think for the first time, too. I don't remember if he did that in the first episode. Then it just turned into a battle. He whips out his Ladder Zooka. Get your minds out of the gutters there, people. Nozzles on the end to push Gelshark, who has gotten the power source bomb thing, whatever it is, into his possession, and shoots Gelshark up into orbit, where the power source slash bomb promptly explodes, which is why I'm not sure if it's a bomb or not. Let's see. Cut back to Death Stronger base, which is underwater, another parallel to G1, and Gelshark is miraculously back on Earth, and trying to explain his failure to Gigatron, who is none too pleased. No. And that's about it for the episode. I don't know, these episodes are seeming pretty average to me. There's nothing really special going on except for a new character introduction, which in this case was Gelshark. Next week I will review episode 3 of Kara Robots, the introduction of JRX, you know, the three-train combiner.
You're going to make me say it? I am Rampage, Predacon Warlord! Stone!
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go, and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just like on Bandit Run.
Greetings and salutations, trans fans. It's that time of year again. What time of year is that? It's BotCon. And what does that mean? That's right, road trip. What does that have to do with today's Ask RFC? Absolutely nothing.
What was your family decomposed of?
Well, I'll tell you. It was a litter of three, and I was the one they kept.
We've been getting a lot of letters, and we'll be able to get to them all. However, not in one show.
The views and opinions of Muppet do not necessarily represent those of Free and Free Cybertron, nor anyone else for that matter.
Today's letter is from Ben Poston, and he writes, "Where can I get Transformers Erotica?" Transformers Erotica. God, I wish I could find some. Bad. Transformers Erotica, bad. Very bad. Bad. There, it's out there somewhere, bits and pieces, but it's bad. Very bad. Very, very bad.
So long, sucker!
Well, that's it for Ask RFC. This is your friendly neighborhood mop boy saying, give me liberty or give me...
Where's your mother, yo?
I am Tarantulas, agent of the Predacon Secret Police. Don't tell anyone else that.
Some million or so years later.
I'm reviewing the Beast Wars Transmetal game for Sony PlayStation now. Alex Bunch of Numbers. That's just what I call Alex J33106. He did a tech review of the game last week. Was that last week? It doesn't matter. So now I'm going to follow up to that with an audio review of my own. We were kind of hoping Alex would do an audio review of the game to begin with, but no. Nah, I'm just kidding you, Alex. Okay, so let's start from the beginnings. This game was originally sold in Japan as Beast Wars Metals. That was the name given to the second and third seasons of Beast Wars as translated in Japan. There's a bunch of original voice actors on the game. Gary Chalk is Optimus Primal. Ian Corlett is Cheetor. He also does Quickstrike. I guess they couldn't get his voice actor. Let's see, who else here? Alec Willows is Tarantulas. David Kay is Megatron. Scott McNeil is Rattrap, Silverbolt, and Waspinator. I'm still trying to determine if Rampage's voice is accurate or not. Genuine voice actor. At times it sounds like an impersonator. Also, Rhinox and Black Arachnia are featured minorly in the game in CGI sequences. Rhinox's voice actor is not genuine, nor is Black Arachnia's. I guess Venus Terzo wasn't willing to do this. Nor was Rhinox's voice actor. That or Mainframe couldn't get them to work that day. Okay, let's see. Rhinox's impersonator is actually not half bad, but Black Arachnia is almost intolerable to listen to. Probably the Predacon computer woman did her voice. Let's see now. The graphics of the game are kind of low-key. They're like early first-generation Quake models. The actual base character isn't that bad. It's the surfacing that's the problem. It's very simplistic and pixelated. Let's see. The arenas or battlegrounds are pretty cool, actually. There's a couple that I liked a lot. Let's see. The arenas include the Axelon itself, Grassland, Wasteland, which is just a desert area with landmines, too. Let's see, what else here? Forest, like the one in Bad Spark. A snowfield, What else was there? Oh, a mountain area with a waterfall. Basically just a box canyon, really. And these aren't necessarily in correct order either, I guess I should point out. There's also cliffs, and why can't I remember any of the other arenas? I can find my instruction book for the game here. I can read you the list of arenas off of it. Oh, I know it's here somewhere. Come on. Battlefield. Maximal Base, the Axelon. Grassland, Snowfield, Forest. Desert, not the same as Wasteland. Then the Wastelands, Mountains, Volcano, which is the volcano the Ark is buried in. And actually the Ark is visible in the background of that. And then, of course, there's the Predacon base, referred to in the game at least once as the Dark Side. Out of these, I have to say that the Wastelands and cliffs are my favorite. The cliffs have a strategic advantage point, which is the very top of the level. You can basically just stand there and let loose with your weapons to shoot at anything below you. It kind of helps to perch on the very edge so you can get clear shots, but it's good. The mountains also have a defensible ledge where you can do the same thing as in the cliffs. The others are basically just flat fields with varying... can't think of the word. Varying natural opposition, like energon deposits or dust storms. Gameplay is pretty good. It's your average fighter, except not quite as complicated. This is obviously marketed towards the fans and the younger children who could easily play the game. You don't have to execute difficult combo moves. My counter seems to be a little stuck here. You just hold down the buttons for varying lengths of time to charge up more powerful moves. This is actually pretty nice, because you have to remember tricky button moves. Let's see. The characters in the game are Optimus Primal in his Transmetal form, no Optimal Optimus. Transmetals, Tarantulas, Cheetor, Rattrap, Megatron, let's see, Silverbolt, Quickstrike, and then Rampage. I think that's all of them. There's also four secret characters, Tigatron, Ravage, Black Arachnia, and Windrazer. Windrazer is the BotCon exclusive from last year. Windrazer is, of course, the Silverbolt repaint, which does not change at all in the game. He is just recolored Silverbolt. Who's also voiced by Ravestrike, the trans fan who, stood behind the game. That's probably not the best way to put that, but I'm running out of time for this review here. Let's just get down to the basics here. The game is good. I mean, don't believe everybody telling you that the game is just a bad engine and bad graphics. I mean, the fact that it's Transformers does help it, even in my eyes, but it's a good game, I think. It's easily plenty complicated on the two higher difficulty levels. I'd also like to mention the different playing modes here. There's training mode, where you practice your attacks against an immobile computer opponent, one that doesn't fight back, basically. Then there is story mode, where you run through each course in sequence you choose, though. TV mode, which is story mode, except computer controls both sides, versus battle mode, which... that's your core fighter element. You can play against a computer or another person. So survival mode is like the versus battle mode, except it's a timed match where you play against the computer for as long as you can. Let's see, you can have easy, normal, and hard difficulty. Hard is the default, by the way. An odd choice, I think. There's some extras in the game. Photo gallery of the Transmetal line toys. CGI movies that you can view. You have to unlock them, though, as you play. Voice effects from the game, and then music from the game. This game's pretty good. I bought it at Electronics Boutique for $35, and I also bought a used PlayStation so I could play it. I think the game is worth the money, and if you already have a PlayStation, so much the better. I'm going to give the game an 8 out of 10. Actually, I should break this down a little. Gameplay is going to get 7 out of 10. It's a bit simplistic, but in a good way. Graphics are going to get 4 out of 10, except for the backgrounds, which aren't that spectacular anyway. It's just not good looking. Sound is going to get 6 out of 10. It's good, but nothing spectacular. Challenge level is going to get a 7 out of 10. On the higher level, it's challenging enough for even the more experienced game player. Which this all leads to the overall rating of 8 out of 10. I don't mean to sound like a fanboy, but it's Transformers, which automatically gives it a couple points in my book. This is Goldimus Prime for Radio Free Cybertron, who's probably taken this review a little too long anyway. Probably is a little incoherent at this point, considering he's recording this at 2:30 a.m.
Every conqueror must face the battlefield!
I'm Cheetor! Aren't I cool?
Thank you for listening to Radio Free Cybertron.